Now, let's turn the Bible to the book of Luke, the 21st chapter, and probably read one verse from there. Luke 21:24. It says, "And they," meaning the Jews, "shall fall by the edge of the sword, and shall be led captive into all nations, and Jerusalem shall be trodden down of the Gentiles until the time of the Gentiles be fulfilled." By the grace of God, I will just take a text from that verse, and I call it the progressive revelation of the times of the Gentiles. Jesus mentioned the time of the Gentiles, right? So this morning, the progressive revelation of the time of the Gentiles. Now, in the book of Daniel, many times the Lord referenced the book of Daniel to show how important it is. There are two apocalyptic books in the Bible, the Old Testament Apocalypse, the book of Daniel, and the New Testament Apocalypse is the book of Revelation at the mouth of two or three witnesses, right? And they complement each other, really, you know. Let me show you another place where the Lord referenced the book of Daniel. We're going to Matthew 24, the 15th verse. When ye therefore shall see the abomination of desolation spoken of by Daniel the prophet, stand in the holy place. Whoso readeth, let him understand. For then shall be great tribulation, such as was not since the beginning of the world to this time, no, nor ever shall be. And except those days should be shortened, there should no flesh be saved. But for the elect's sake, those days shall be shortened. So they don't reference the book of Daniel, right there and so forth, in a way pointing to the people of God, how important it is. So I'm going to go right there to the book of Daniel again this morning, somehow, talking about the progress. So the Lord gave revelation of the time of the Gentiles, bit by bit, by Daniel the prophet. So now we all are familiar with the second chapter. So I will paraphrase that, really, how the Nebuchadnezzar had a dream of an image whose head is the head of gold, like a man, between like a man, and like an image, you know, has the head of gold, and it has the arms and breast of silver, a belly and thigh of brass, and it has a leg of iron, and it has the 10 toes were made of iron and clay. This is all familiar to most Bible readers who are listening to the end time event today. You know, care about the end time event. Later or sooner, everybody will care about the end time event. They cannot be hidden. It's happening right now. They will be forced to know that it's the end of the war, who have denied it so far. And they think this war will continue forever. Not really. Anyway, so we are all familiar with that. And also to summarize that, the Bible itself interpreted what that image means, you know, by the mouth of Daniel the prophet. The head of gold was Babylon, their kingdom, the Gentile kingdoms, you know. The head of gold, we are told in that same chapter and so on, is Babylon itself. And the arms and the breast of silver are the Medo-Persian Empire. It was a dual empire. And the belly and the brass of brass were the Grecian Empire, you know, and something like that, you know. And the leg of iron, we all understand by now, is Rome. And we are told, you know, that by the significance, the Rome, you can see the two legs, right? And the Bible foretold it. And with Rome, eventually, divided into two, the Eastern and the Western Roman Empire. We know that, just like the Bible says and so forth. And the letter end of the Roman Empire will be 10 kingdoms. Then 10 kingdoms at the end of the age. That's how the Roman Empire will end. And later on, he'll be taken over by the last kingdom and so forth. The last king of the Gentiles will be the Antichrist. That is the last king of the Gentiles. So that's the summary of the second chapter. But talking about the progressive revelation, many people are familiar with that. They don't know that in the seventh chapter, the Lord gives more information about the time of the Gentiles. So there is, I'm going to go in here this morning. The not so familiar, the seventh chapter of the book of Daniel. And we're going to be looking at that this morning by the grace of God. It's a progressive revelation. He gave a bit of the time of the Gentiles to Daniel, to Nebuchadnezzar, and then he continued with Daniel himself. You know, he interpreted the dreams of Nebuchadnezzar. Now the Lord begins to give him his own vision. And so we see why, just in a moment. Now, the golden-headed image of Nebuchadnezzar's dream symbolizes the four great world empires in their unity and historical succession. There are to be four and only four great world empires on the earth from the accession of Nebuchadnezzar to the throne of Babylon to the coming, second coming of Christ. That's the four kingdoms and so on, that you know, according to that book, prophetic book that God forecast and so on, that you know. These four kingdoms are, you know, represented by four letters of the image, which I already paraphrased just before now. Men like Laponia have hoped and plotted and wanted to establish a fifth world empire, but to no avail. God forecasted that only to be four for the time of the coming of Christ. There are only four of them. They tried, Napoleon tried, not to create a fifth world empire. It failed because you can't change the word of God. These empires are not only made known as to their number, there are only four. But their names were even given in the Bible in the order of succession. And history has proven it to be right, you know. Babylon fell. We talk about three Sundays there, or and so I'm talking about the origin and the fall of Babylon, you know, and some of that, you know. We did that a couple of weeks ago. Anyway, the coming history, as God said the way in the book of Daniel. So we see. Now, let's go back to Daniel chapter 7 now. Progress. God will add to it. He gave some to the hidden king, Nebuchadnezzar. Then he now gave more to Daniel. But not many seats like that, you know. Now you see, the book of Daniel, the fourth chapter, and the first three verses of the second chapter are written in Hebrew. I'll say that again. In the book of Daniel, they are written in two languages. The fourth chapter and the first three verses of the second chapter are written in Hebrew. Then the fourth verse of the second chapter to the end of the seventh chapter are written in Aramaic, the native language of Jesus. Then chapter 8 to the end were written in Hebrew again. So what is it telling you? Now, that first chapter talk about the rise and fall of the Jewish to the captivity, you know. It's kind of historic thing, something like that, you know. Then, you know, so then, you know, from the, that in Hebrew, right, it has to do with the Jews. Daniel being taken and so on, you know, which God already told Hezekiah, the day will come. You know, I think he was sick one time, Hezekiah was sick and so on, you know. And when he got well, king of Babylon and so on, he came to come and visit him and so on, wish him well and so on. And when he came, he showed him everything in Babylon. God told Isaiah the prophet, go and tell him, don't tell the Lord. What did you show those people? Oh, I showed them everything. The day are coming. When your very sons will be taken away from here to Babylon, that's why Daniel ended up in Daniel. I mean, the most promising children of Israel, taken to Babylon and so on. That's why Daniel was there and the three Hebrew children and so on, that you know. Anyway, so the first chapter of the book of Daniel, up to the second chapter to the third verse, has to do with Jewish. You know, so I'm saying that, you know, so to the captivity and so on, to Daniel and so on, that you know. For the fourth verse of the second verse, then to the seventh chapter, has to do with the Gentiles. Gentile time, as well as to know the king's writing and foreign king's writing and foreign and so on. Then from the eighth to the end, come back to the Jewish again. That's why it is in Hebrew. Anyway, that's just by the side. Now, okay, so we see, now let's go to chapter 7 of the book of Daniel, talking about the progressive revelation. Revelation bit upon revelation, bit by bit. The book of Revelation is said, by the way, you know, is sometimes like that and so on, that you know, the book of, just that, you know, is the same pattern and so on. We can actually broadly classify the book of Revelation into this one. The very first five chapters have to do with the church, because in the fourth chapter come up either the church goes off, right, So you can broadly, I say broadly, the manner language now. Divide the book of Revelation into two. Now, in the first four chapters, we have the church ages and so on. Then in the fourth chapter, the church goes up, right? You see, I'm sure that you know. Then from the sixth chapter to the 19th chapter, the church disappears from the view, you know? Broadly speaking, really, you know? So, and they don't come back until 19th chapter, right? So we know that, you know? So you can see this apocalyptic book. Yeah, you can see the Jew and the Gentile. So it's talking about the times of the Gentiles, right? So let's go. So let's see Daniel chapter 7. In the fourth year of Belshazzar, king of Babylon, Daniel had a dream and visions of his head upon his let me go back again. In the fourth year of Belshazzar, king of Babylon, Daniel had a dream rather and visions of his head upon his bed. Then he wrote the dream and told the sum of the matters. Daniel spake and said, I saw in my vision by night, and behold, the four winds of the heaven strove upon the great sea, and four great beasts came up from the sea, divers from another. The fourth was like a lion, and had eagle's wings. I beheld till the wings thereof were plucked, and it was lifted up from the earth, and made stand upon the feet as a man. And a man's heart was given to it. And behold, another beast, the second, like to a deer, and it raised up itself on one side, and it had three ribs in the mouth of it between the teeth of it. And it said thus unto it, arise, devour much flesh. After this I beheld, and lo, another like a leopard, which had upon the back of it four wings of a fowl. The beast had also four heads, and a dominion was given to it. After this I saw in the night vision, and beheld a fourth beast, dreadful and terrible, and strong exceedingly, and he had a great iron teeth. Iron teeth. He devoured and break in pieces, and stamped the residue with the feet of it. And it was a divers from all the beasts that were before it. And it had 10 horns. I considered the horns, and behold, there came up among them another little horn, before whom there were three of the fourth horns plucked up by the roots. And behold, in this horn were eyes, like the eyes of man, and a mouth speaking great things. Praise the Lord. Now, so let's see this now. The time of the Gentiles, right? The time of the vision. When was this vision given? In verse 1, it says, in the fourth year of Belshazzar, king of Babylon, Daniel had a dream, a vision of his head upon his head. Then he wrote in that. So we can see now, chronologically, if you remember that you see Belshazzar, at the foot of Babylon was under Belshazzar, right? Chapter 5 of the book of Daniel. Now we are in the seventh chapter. So in the chronological order, they are not arranged chronologically really. This chapter should have come before chapter 5 and 6 really. But God knows what he was doing. So what the Lord is doing here is that, like I said, this seven chapters should have been before 5 and 6 chapters, because chapter 6 was the time of Darius, right? Daniel in the lion's den, right? I mean, the chapter has already passed on, chapter 5. Babylon has already fallen, like we went through here and so on, you know? So anyway, chapter 7 should have been before chapter 5 and 6, the chronological order, but the Lord, in his own wisdom or alignment, arranged this way to keep the historical part of the book separate from the prophetic part of it. I think that's why God allowed them to really arrange them like that and some of that, you know. So anyway, so the seventh chapter begins at the second or prophetic part of the book, really. Part of it is historical in the earlier one. The opening words of the chapter take us back to the fourth year of Belshazzar's reign. We don't know the date, but using historical records, some estimated that the date of the vision of this chapter is 62 years after Nebuchadnezzar had his dream of the golden image. They trace history and so forth, and they found that the time that this vision was given to Daniel was around 62 years after the golden image that Nebuchadnezzar saw in his dream. Now, for the death of Nebuchadnezzar, which historians know, he died in 561 BC. That's when Nebuchadnezzar died, 561 BC. From that time to the fall of Babylon, which we talk about here, Babylon fell in 538 BC. So from 561 BC to 538 BC, meaning the death of Nebuchadnezzar to the fall of Babylon, was 23 years. In those 23 years, not much was heard of Daniel, really. You know, it was kind of living a quiet, semi-retired life, for what you can read from history, for those 23 years. So during those 23 years, he appeared to have lived a semi-retired life, really. Where, oh Daniel, faithful man of God, how blessed must have been those years of rest. You see what he went through and so forth, like that, you know. No sooner they get to Babylon, you must eat of the king's meat, but we have been taught not to eat things offered to idol or to eat eaten food and so forth. Oh, the man that was in charge of them, you know the story. You can't disobey the king's order. You have to be groomed. Daniel said, you know what? Just put us for 10 days. We will eat pulses, right? And the past 10 days, if we look worse than the other children in the king's court, they were being groomed to look in the king's court, then do what you will. You know the story. They appear fatter in flesh, greater wisdom, 10 times more water than those other people who are eating garbage and so on, they call food and drinking the king's wine. See? Anyway, so we know. All kind of trouble he saw, going to the lions, then, and all of those things and so on, that, you know. He went through a lot of things. Any Christian in this world, he that will live a godly life in Christ Jesus, will suffer persecution. We know that. So count it not strange when you fall into diverse temptations, you know. Why me? Don't say that. Unless one is a bastard, you know. So when we go through things, count it all joy. Is it easy? No. But by the grace of God, we can count it all joy. Praise ye the Lord. Then I was Daniel, and so that, you know. So anyway, I'm saying that what is a restful time after all those things that he faced and so forth, you know. All the gang against him, 120 other presidents who are under him. Falsely, when you are falsely accused, you know, and so that, you know, let the Lord be your defense. You know, the man of God and so forth. No man should pray for 30 days and so on, that, you know. He didn't care. 3 times a day, he opened his windows towards Jerusalem. If any government, I don't care who they are, they can make any law, but if it is against the word of God, you have the audacity not to obey it. Amen? Praise the Lord. With impunity from the Almighty God. You know, so we know. Anyway, so we see. So you can see now at this time, now he's old, 23 years, I believe, of some rest. Kind of retired life and so on, that, you know. Anyway, so but how blessed he must have been at that quiet years and so on, having communion with God. You know what he was doing? He was reading the scripture that were present at that time. How do you know? I'll show you the scripture. So, they were actually, they were spent, I believe, in studying the word of God as they existed in that time. Let me show you one scripture that tell me that. In Daniel chapter 9 verse 2, I, Daniel, understood by books. Which books? He was studying the Bible as it existed. God's word as it existed in his time. And he said, I, Daniel, understood by books the number of the years whereof the word of the Lord came to Jeremiah the prophet. He was reading the prophet in all those quiet times. Wasn't just idle, you know. He was studying the word of God as they existed. I believe he read Moses and all of those other prophets, the Torah and everything like that. How did he know not to really even eat the king's meat and all that? You know? So we'll see anyway. So just by the way. Anyway, it was during those quiet 23 years while Daniel was seeking, what was he doing? More life. He has read Jeremiah. You know, there's more to that, you know. It's only 2 years left now for the children to go home anyway. 68 years has passed in Jeremiah 25, chapter where he declared about his going to the captivity. He has read all those things, as well as you know. See? Anyway, so you know it's time for them to go home, as well anyway. So, but it didn't stop there. You know, you don't stop, you keep on seeking, you know, no matter what revelation you have got in the past. People who stop by one revelation, they get stuck right there, you know. Or see, Jesus comes, amen, praise God. You don't get stuck, you keep on going and seeking the Lord, praise the Lord. That's how it goes. Daniel saw that prophecy, he didn't stop there. He keep on seeking the Lord, and you progressive revelation of the time of the Gentiles. That's how he got it. If he had sat down in one place and said, Daniel, believe my purifier, that's it, you know. Where will he be? Where will he be? What be today, anyway? So he's seeking more light from the scripture as to the times of the Gentiles and their relation to his own people. You see, the book is, he addressed the Jews and the Gentiles. The book already the same chapter, you know. So how do these things relate to the Gentiles? How do they relate to my own people, the Jews, and so on like that, you know? He was careful about his people, right? He cared about them and so on. That's why he was seeking the Lord at one time. Okay, let's go. Anyway, so how this thing relates to his own people, the Jews, that he had this vision at that time, those times, 23 years, when he had these visions and so on. It is a noteworthy fact that the apocalyptic writers of the Old Testament and the New, as the two of them, there are two of them, himself, Daniel, and John, they are all called the Beloved. There was John the Beloved. How many times God said, Daniel, thou art greatly beloved. Amen? And they were faithful old men. He was in his old age when these visions came. And he keeps seeking the Lord and so on, you know. John, he was called John the Beloved, the apocalyptic writer and the Bible, you know. So, and because they were faithful to God, God revealed things to them and so on, you know. Anyway, and so they were, you know, because they were faithful to God, he revealed to them in their old age. They were also both addressed, like I said before. Anyway, so now let's see now in this chapter, quickly. In this chapter, I can't cover everything. We just stop here, time, you know. So, in this seventh chapter, there are three visions that Daniel had. Number one vision was the vision of the four white beasts. Number two vision was the vision of a judgment scene. I didn't read that when I read this, you know, a few minutes ago. The third vision was the vision of the Son of Man receiving the kingdom. Probably we can only go the fourth vision this morning, you know, sometime in the future we do the rest. The progressive revelation of the times of the Gentiles. Anyway, let's see the fourth vision that he saw. The vision of the four wild beasts in the second verse of Daniel 7. Daniel spake and said, I saw in my vision by night, and behold, the four winds of the heaven strove upon the great sea, and four great beasts came up from the sea, divers one from another. Let's see and let the Bible interpret itself. What do these things mean, you know? So he gave a bit of the Gentile.
Is it 7 or 9?
I'm reading Daniel 7. Yeah, 7 2. I'm going, I read 7 before, but I'm not, we're taking them in pieces now to see what they mean by the grace of God. Letting the Bible interpret itself. Praise God. Now, so now, So the scene of this vision was on the shore of what the Bible called the Great Sea. When, in the Bible language of Old Testament, the Great Sea stands for the Mediterranean Sea. That's what it is, the Mediterranean Sea. And this locates the geographical position of the nations symbolized by the four wild beasts. Though the Babylonian Empire, Babylon was it, or the Mediterranean, we know that, where, to bring to your attention, Babylon is Iraq, we know that, right, of today. So that's not on the Mediterranean Sea, we know that. And the Medo-Persian Empire is, Iran. Iran changed its name, it became Iran in 1935, we know that, for all Persia. So that's not on the Mediterranean. But the thing is this, when they conquered some areas in the ancient kingdom, their wealth and so on called for the Mediterranean area. Anyway, let's go back. So what is the Great Sea? It is the Mediterranean Sea, what the Bible called the Great Sea here and so on. So we see. Now, what is this raging waves? So the raging waves of the seas symbolize the unrest. The unrest and the tumult of the nation. But the sea itself doesn't get tumulted except by external means. The sea will just sit there, but when it's raised up and so on, there is an external means. Maybe a mighty wind, maybe a hurricane, maybe an earthquake, right? We know that this is their type of nations, right? The Bible says so. Because Daniel said that I spoke, and he said, I behold the four winds of heaven stroke upon the great sea, right? So this represents nations. And let us see how the Bible tells us this means nations. In Revelation 17, verse 15, we are told that, I'm telling you that this seas are some of the mean nations, countries, I don't know that, 17:15 of Revelation. The waters which thou sawest or seest are peoples and multitudes and nations and tongues. That is what the sea really means in the Bible, you know. Well, as a matter of two or three witnesses, let me get another scripture for you. So, to show you that in the same chapter of the book of Isaiah, 17th of Isaiah, Isaiah 17 chapter, tell us the same thing, that this is represent nations and so on. Isaiah 17 verse 12 to 13. Woe to the multitude of many people, which make a noise like the noise of the seas, and to the rushing of nations, that make it rushing like the rushing of mighty waters. So it means nations. Taking our time here, many of the times, yes. Isaiah 17, verses 12 to 13. I am showing that seas mean people and nations. What are you saying?
Isaiah 17.
Sorry. Alright. Anyway, that's okay. Now, so you see two scriptures at the mouth of two or three witnesses, right? God showing us that way upon the main nations and so on. Now we keep on going. But the sea, like I tell you before, is never in commotion, right? Except by an earthquake or by a wind or hurricane and so on, you know. So the nations are never thrown into discord, but only from without. These outside influences are spoken of in the vision of the four winds, you know, as the four winds of heaven. We call the four winds of heaven, right? Those are the external forces that are going to trouble the nations in the Mediterranean area, you know, and according to history and so forth. Now, the number four points towards the four directions that we have. There are four directions and so on, coming from the four points of the compass from all directions. These things are coming and so on, as you know. And it denotes the universality of what's going to happen and so forth. So, another thing is this. These winds represent the powers of the air, the forces of darkness, the forces of evil, of which we are told in Ephesians 6, the New Testament in Ephesians 6 says, we wrestle not against flesh and blood. That is, not against human beings, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places and so on, that you know. So we are to understand that the four winds of heaven that I spoke about, they mean the evil powers of the air that Satan uses to cause unrest among the nations of the earth. If you want to understand the nations and so on, that you know. So the evil powers that Satan uses to use to torment the nations at the end of time. And as the closing of this age draw near, when Israel fully settled down, as he has settled down now, what will happen? So the nations that center around us get agitated. What is this and so on, that you know. So the nations around Israel and so on, many of them are so begin to rise up and so on by satanic influences. There will be commotion around this area, as we are witnessing now. Even as we talk right now, you see, there is war going on. All of a sudden, Hamas, attack Israel. Where is the location? In Gaza, right by the Mediterranean, the four winds of heaven, right? That we see the nations rising up. Don't look at the physical man. The undertone power is Satan. That's it, Ephesians 6, the powers of the air are underneath these rises and so on. Look at the brutality that is going on there. Unless by demonic forces from hell, no human being that is normal can do such a thing like that, as they are doing out there. Satan, the Antichrist, rising and so on, that So the four winds and so on. That one is happening right now in the Mediterranean area, right? The Great Sea, right? What the Bible says and so on. So we are, we see what is going on right now in the world. So talking about the progressive revelation of the time of the Gentiles. Anyway, so the meaning of the four beasts that Daniel saw in his vision, we shall find that they correspond with the four metals of the image that Nebuchadnezzar saw in his own dream. What we are having here is just a progressive revelation of extension of what that God revealed in a measure the Nebuchadnezzar in chapter 2 of Daniel. You will ask me, if they correspond to it, why will God come and repeat the same thing? Again, he gives more information, progressive revelation, right, and so on, that you know. And we have said in the Bible before, Pharaoh had two dreams, right? He had a dream of the corn, and 17 ears of corn, we are told, and 7 fast ones, right? And all of a sudden, the fast one took over the thin one. There are 7 cows, very thin, are almost deadly, and there are 7 fast ones. And then it's very thin cow, eats all the big ones, and so forth, And there are 2 of them. The interpretation says in Genesis chapter 41, it says that the 2, yeah, that's right, 41:32 of Genesis. Here's what the Holy Spirit gave to Joseph to tell, Pharaoh. He said the 2 things are the same thing. So the metals of Nebuchadnezzar and these four beasts are the same thing. So here's what he told Pharaoh. And for that the dream was double unto Pharaoh twice. It is because the thing is established by God, and God will shortly bring it to pass. Praise the Lord. That's right. So yeah, he used corn in one place, he used cow or whatever in another place, but they mean the same thing. He used metals in one place, and he used wild animals in another place, but the same vision. He may add more information to it. Now, let's see the first beast now. So the vision of the wild beast was given to Daniel, that he might have additional light, meaning progressive revelation now, on the times of the Gentiles. A light that God didn't, wasn't willing to give Nebuchadnezzar at that time. Not even Daniel at that time. He preached in the future time. Now, he's now showing to Daniel additional revelation. And dealing with the Gentiles, right? The time of the Gentiles. You know, all those four kingdoms are Gentile kingdoms. And all that, you know. So, let's see the first beast quickly. And then we go from there. Daniel chapter 7:4. The first was like a lion and had eagle's wings. And the head, the wings thereof were plucked. And it was lifted up from the earth and made stand upon the feet as a man. And a man's heart was given to it. We try to match them together using the Bible to show you that the two are the same. Now, the first beast was like a lion, we are told, with the difference that it had wings like those of an eagle, right? Its appearance will recall to Daniel, you know, that he has known that in Babylon and in Nineveh, the palaces of the kings were adorned with colossal figures of lions and eagles. Even look at history. So he knew that, so he could quickly associate that first beast lion with Babylon. That's how I believe God revealed to him and so on, that, you know. So that's because the palaces of the people in Nineveh and then Babylon, they were all adorned with lion and eagles. Even to today, you can go and find it up in history and so on. So he quickly knew that that this lion is the same thing as the golden head of the Nebuchadnezzar image, which is Babylon. So he knew that and so on, that, you know. Now, but in this eagle-winged winged lion, we see a combination of what? The king of the beast. You see the lion, the king of the beast, right? And the eagle is the king of the birds, right? Combined together. That is telling us about the absolute monarch that Nebuchadnezzar was. So it's pointing to Nebuchadnezzar, the king of Babylon at that time. And with the wing of eagle, like, he went on conquering. And conquering over the nation, Nebuchadnezzar did and so on. But then I look on and saw those wings plucked off. What does that really mean? So it means that Nebuchadnezzar, at the time, after making all this conquering and everything like that, so the lion with the eagle, with the wings of the eagle, is actually Babylon, really. So anyway, so when Nebuchadnezzar has done all kind of conquering, he now give up, begin to build palaces, the hanging gardens, and so on. That is like when the wings were plucked, right? So he now settled that to begin to build palaces. We were going through the kingdom of Babylon and so on. All those things that he built, the city of Babylon and so on. So the wings were plucked, meaning that, you know, he settled down from conquering and begin to just build up. And as he does, the kingdom was waning down and waning down and waning down, right? So we see that there, you know, history begins to tell us to confirm the Bible and so on. Anyway, so, and now, then Daniel saw it lifted up, that lion and so on, and caused it to walk on 2 feet, the lion that is, that, you know, stood up. Instead of walking on four, he walked on only two legs. What can we say of that? Many things we can think about that. Number one, it can tell of when Nebuchadnezzar was turned into a beast, right? We know that's why, you know. And then, you know, it was given the heart of a man, we are told, and so on, that, you know. Because it's talking about Nebuchadnezzar, you know, being turned into a beast, and then being restored again at the end of it. That is what it will look like. And also, to show that, you know, that this is actually Babylon, we know that the Bible describes Babylon and associated with a lion and also with eagle. So we are now saying, we are expanding on the thought that the golden head representing Babylon, Daniel 2, and this lion here is Babylon 2, matching it with the head of gold in the image. Let's see how the Bible depicts Babylon as the lion or the eagle. Jeremiah 4:6. Set up the standard toward Zion. Retire and say not, for I will bring evil from the north and a great destruction. The lion is come up from his thicket, and the destroyer of the Gentiles is on his way. He's gone forth from his place to make the land desolate, and the cities shall be laid waste without an inhabitant. So that's, you know, we know, coming from the Lord and some of that, you know. So another one is this, that, you know, that tied Babylon to the eagle. In Ezekiel 17 verse 2, all we are doing here is that we are saying that what Nebuchadnezzar had in the dream, those four metals, they correspond to the four beasts that God showed Daniel with more information. So in Ezekiel 17 verse 2, Son of man, put forth a riddle and speak a parable unto the house of Israel, and say, thus said the Lord God, a great eagle with great wings, long-winged, full of feathers, which had diverse colors, come unto Lebanon, and took the highest branch of the cedar. Say now to the rebellious house, know ye not what these things mean? Tell them, behold, the king of Babylon come to Jerusalem, and has taken the king thereof and the princes thereof, and led them with into Babylon. So I'm showing you that the Bible depicted Babylon as both as a lion and also as an eagle. So we are saying in the seventh chapter of the book of Daniel, that first beast he saw is Babylon, which is lion. That's what we are trying to say here. And so that's what we are trying to say right there. So now, the progressive revelation of the time of the Gentiles. All Gentiles and so on. So that is the first beast. So the lion-like, it has an, you know, it has an eagle's wing and so on. That depicts the quick conquering of Nebuchadnezzar. You know, how he conquered the nations and so on like that, you know. You know how the eagle is swept and so on like that, you know. And then later on, the wings are plucked. That means when they stop conquering and they begin to build palaces and so on like that, you know. And then the kingdom begin to wane down. So we know that. And the lion standing up and so on like that, you know, with two legs and so on. He become a beast at one time. You know, 7 years pass over his head. So we know. So the first beast lion is Babylon. You see, time of the Gentiles, that is Gentile kingdoms and so on. Second beast, very quickly, verse 5, that is 7. And behold, another beast, a second, like to a deer, and it raised up itself on one side, and it has three ribs in the mouth of it between the teeth of it, and it said thus unto it, arise, devour much flesh. Now this second beast was like a deer, we are told, and we know in nature, next to the lion in strength is the deer. We know that the deer is distinguished though for its voracity, consumption and so on, greedy and consumption and so on, you know, for its voracity, but it has none of the agility and majesty of a lion. We know that even in nature it is awkward in its movement, it just wobbles. When you see a deer, it just wobbles and so on. You know, awkward in its movement. And it effects its purpose with a comparative slowness, brute force, and sheer strength. That's what a deer really looks like in nature. So, how can we tie it up with what is happening in this chapter? These were exactly the characteristics of the Medo-Persian Empire, really. The bear-like nature, you know, and I'm going to show you right now, you know. So the empire, seen as the arms and breadth of silver in the image of Nebuchadnezzar's dream. So we are saying that the breadth and the arms of silver in the image that Nebuchadnezzar saw in chapter 2, which we know is Medo-Persian Empire, is now represented in chapter 7 with the bear. That's what you are trying to say here. And let us see how the Medo-Persian Empire looks like a deer in so many ways that it does things and so on that, you know. So now, for example, So, you know, it was, no, Zaxis, one, was the son of, son of Darius, you know. Zaxis, one, was the son of Darius. When he invaded Greece, history tells us he invaded with about 2.5 to 5 million troops. Talking about, he just moved in mass. You know, he doesn't have the agility of a lion, but that of a bear. You know, he uses that no mighty strength and so on that to do his job. But no, it's still that. Anyway, so that is one. You know, and 2.5 to 5 million people when he attacked Greece and so on. So of course that was in 480 BC in history. So it was easy to see how such a movement of a large amount of people, you know, will devour much flesh. Like the Bible said, Daniel saw it in his vision and so on. Now, the side of the bear, Bible says it was raised up in one side, right? That side is the Persian side of, it's a Middle Persian Empire, right? That side lifted up is the strongest of the two empires, right? Which is Persia. So we know that one right there, you know. Anyway, so all we are saying is that the bear represents the Medo-Persian Empire, just like the silver, arms and breast of the image in the cabinet represent in the Persian Empire. It's the same kingdom, but God has a little bit of information here and there, to it as well as that, So we see. It corresponds to, so that's good and so on that, So now, Bible offers, we are told that also more information was given us in this one also. So the three ribs in the mouth of the bear, what do they mean? When we look back into history, So the three ribs in the mouth of the bear stood for Persia's conquest of three countries. What are the countries? When we look back in history, in 446 to 47 BC, Lydia was conquered, and Lydia, if you want to look at it, it's a country in ancient Asia, Asia Minor, you see? And that's number one. There are three countries conquered by Persia around that time. Those three ribs represent three countries. The three ribs in the mouth of that bear represent the three countries, which we saw in history. In 546 BC, they conquered Lydia, a country in ancient Minor. Number two, in 540 to 539 BC, they conquered Shushan. Shushan is an ancient country, southwestern of modern Iran. Number three country, the rest of Asia Minor. So three ribs, right? Making the three countries that Persia conquered in that era of time. So as the bear is an inferior animal to the lion, we see that the Medo-Persian Empire, the rest of Asia. You have Lydia, then you have Susan, and then the rest of Asia Minor. The rest of Asia Minor. And these are all in history. The Bible already foretold these things. But thank God for revelation and so on. So anyway, as the bear is an inferior animal to the lion, we see that the Medo-Persian Empire was inferior to the Babylonian Empire, not necessarily in power, but in wealth, magnificence, and in the form of government. Thus, the four white beasts correspond to the four metals of gold, silver, brass, and iron of the image of Nebuchadnezzar. So what I'm saying is so simple, but just really expanding it, I can show what I'm saying just like in three sentences. Oh, the lion is Babylon. Oh, the bear is Medo-Persian Empire. But just even really expand to see the wonderfulness of God's word and how history bears things out and so on, because we are living at this end time. Now, the third beast, verse 6 of Daniel 7. After this I beheld, and lo, another, like a leopard, which had upon the back of it four wings of a fowl. The beast had also four heads, and dominion was given to it, he says. Now, so this third beast was like a leopard, he says, with the difference that it had four heads and four wings. The leopard is the most agile and graceful wild of beasts, really. Most agile, that's right. Slight in his frame, I mean slim in his frame, but strong, swift, and fierce. Look at the qualification that it's light in frame, it's very strong, it's sweet, and so on, and fierce. And looking into the, and it moves so rapidly. And what can we think of when we look at history? It tells us of the conquest of the Greeks, the conquest of the Greeks under Alexander the Great. That's what it is. You know, under Alexander the Great, the Greeks, they conquered so many nations rapidly with a very small but well-equipped army. Alexander the Great conquered so many. I think in about 10 years, he overthrew the unwieldy forces of Persia and subdued the whole civilized world. Of course, 33 years old, having no more what to conquer, right? Couldn't conquer himself. So we know. So why the four wings of a fowl should have had, give it the rapidity and so on, and no, I mean it had four wings, right? To move so quickly, right? In its progress. Why the four wings of a fowl will add to the rapidity of its progress. They were only the wings of a fowl, right? And not those of an eagle. Indicating that its progress, though swift, will not be as royally victorious as that of Nebuchadnezzar. Talking that it is inferior, right? So just like the metals in the image of Nebuchadnezzar as you go from gold to silver, to brass, to iron, you see the inferiority coming down and so on. So the animals become inferior, from the lion to the deer to the leopard. So the same thing, they're telling you the same story. They are the same and one revelation, but more is added and it's going to be seen more in this other one, as you know. Now, it has four heads, right? This is, Daniel was kind of confused somewhere here. I won't use the word confused, but it was, let me just read that part and turn that, you know. So the four heads represent the four kingdoms, because this same leopard has four heads, right? It has four heads, you know, from where there are four heads in the leopard and so on. The four heads represent the four kingdoms into which the empire of Alexander the Great was divided after his death. Because this leopard has four heads, right? What does it even mean? And we know in history, when he died, Alexander the Great, his generals divided the kingdom into four. So these are the four heads that we know that represent here. And if you tell us that these are the four of them. Number one, Thrace. Thrace is an encompassed territory that now lies in the northeastern Greece, southeastern Bulgaria, and the European part of Turkey. Number two, Macedonia. These are the four territories into which Greece was divided when Alexander the Great died. Macedonia. And that exists today as a geographical region in Southeast Europe that currently includes the nation of North Macedonia as well as part of Greece and so on. Then Syria and Egypt. So they are here today. So those are the four, you know, the four heads you see on the leopard, what they represent. So the four kingdoms or countries to which the Grecian Empire was divided when Alexander the Great died. So they are here, you have Egypt, you have Syria, Macedonia, and then Thrace. So Daniel had this to say at the end of the chapter, in Daniel chapter 7:28. Hitherto the end, that Daniel 7:28, hitherto is the end of the matter. As for me, Daniel, my cogitation, meaning my thoughts, much trouble me, and my countenance changed in me, but I kept the matter in my heart, he said. So why did he say that? You know, why did he say that? Now, for one reason is this. So that, in matching the different methods of the image to the different wild animals, they find that the leopard, right, you know, represents, you know, the Grecian Empire, right? But it has four heads. In the metal side of things, it was the belly of brass, right? And the belly and the thigh of brass. Now, the brass, there are no four sections, right? There are no four sections in the brass to which the four heads of the leopard correspond. If the head of lion corresponds to the lion, and if the silver arm and chest correspond to the deer. Now, the leopard now has not only wings, it has four heads also. So, if they point of the same country, meaning the Indo-Persian Empire, where are like the four sections in the brass matter? I think that's one of the things that confused Daniel and so forth. Anyway, there are no four divisions and so on, you know. So until the eighth chapter, when God explained to him in the progressive revelation that it's something in the eighth chapter, we can't get there today. Sometimes the future will get there again by the grace of God. Then we see, I can see why the thought of his head troubled him. That's why what he was saying there. And later on, we will get to that. Then it will be future. Again, what I'm saying today is very simple, but just even show how valid God's, infallible God's word is, how it even shows it and some of that, And it shows it in two ways. It shows it in the metallic image, it shows it in the beast and some of that, So that's what I'm trying to show today, that they are the same and one. So in essence, the leopard is the Grecian Empire. Now, the last fourth beast, and so there are four of them, right? Quickly. That is 7:7. After this, I saw in the night vision, and behold, a fourth beast, dreadful and terrible, and strong exceedingly, and he had great iron teeth. He devoured and broke into pieces, and stamped the residue with the feet of it, and it was divided from all the beasts that were before it, and it had 10 horns. I considered the horns, and behold, there came up among them another little horn, before whom there were three of the first horns plucked up by the roots. And then behold, in this horn were eyes, like the eyes of man, and a mouth speaking great things. Now, this fourth beast, like we are told, was like no other beast, in nature at all, no other beast like this in the whole wide world, in this, that is first, was diverse. It was dreadful to behold, having teeth of iron, having nails of brass, like no other beast in nature. The fact that this fourth beast had iron teeth and 10 horns will cause Daniel, of course, to see that the iron teeth correspond to the iron legs, of the image of Nebuchadnezzar. You see? Because they are used of the same material, right? In his dream and so on. And the 10 horns to the 10 toes of the same. And therefore, you can know that the fourth beast represents Rome. So that was, so the fourth beast is Rome. Diverse, from all other ones and so on. But something mystified Daniel, though. What was it? The little horn, that sprang up amid the 10 horns. In the toes, There are no small, I mean, there's not a small toe that come up and so on. So there was no corresponding little toe, right? In the image. So that kind of, you know, kind of throw him, mystify him and so on, that, you know. So there's no corresponding little toe in the toe that you have 10 arms, right? And then a little arm pop up. If they cross to each other, there was no little toe. So that kind of, you know, mystify Daniel and so on, that, you know. Anyway, Daniel at once saw that the little horn with his eyes of a man and his mouth speaking great things made some new and additional revelation. Talking about the progressive revelation, right? Additional revelation that God did not see fit to reveal to Nebuchadnezzar in the image. So something has come to pass more than he showed Nebuchadnezzar. This will mean that such additional revelation was reserved for Daniel and his people, you see, the Jews. And this is better understood if we know that Daniel's own visions in the last six chapters of the book were to do with God's dealings with the Jewish people. The last six chapters of the book of Daniel were all Jewish, really. Book of Revelation 1 to 4, it's like the church, and church goes up in chapter 4, verse 1, broadly speaking, like I said before. Anyway, so the same kind of a pattern God revealing, you know, in this thing and some of that, you know. So, now, this is about the conclusion of this bit. In summary then, what we are saying is that fourth beast is none but Rome, you know, corresponding to the iron feet of the Nebuchadnezzar's image, the 10 arms to the 10 toes. What mystified Daniel was the little arm, there was no little toe. That was to be revealed to him in the 8th chapter of the book of Daniel. So anyway, before he could ask the heavenly being the meaning of the little arm, he bought into another vision. I can't go there right now, so because there's no more time. Praise the Lord. So, you know, Apostle Paul told the people of Corinth. People today, when they go to church, you can just say many, many things and so forth. Paul said, but he would rather prefer to come to the people, either by revelation, or come to them by prophecy, or come to them, you know, by doctrine, he said, you know. So anyway, so that's what we should be doing in the church in this last day, to just like the Bible, that the Bible said and all that, you know. So anyway, so let us begin to wrap this up here. In the future, we will see more about how God progressively revealed the time of the Gentiles and so forth. But now, let's end up by talking about the herald of the coming of the Lord. This one we mentioned on Wednesday night, the herald of his coming. Summary of today's thing is this. God begins to reveal the time of the Gentiles. The Lord refers to it in Matthew, in the Gospels and so forth. Now, we see that, you know, what he gave in Daniel 2, the same thing as what he revealed in Daniel 7. Using wild animals in Daniel 7 and metallic image in Daniel 2. So let's talk about the herald of the coming of the Lord. Let me read Matthew 24 verse 3 in finishing this morning. A diversion about what is happening in our time. Herald of his coming. 24 of Matthew verse 3. They are asked the Lord what they call a man's olive discourse. What shall be the sign of your coming among many questions? And that's what I want to do. What shall be the sign of thy coming and of the end of the world? The Lord begins to answer them in verse 6. And you shall hear of wars and rumors of wars. Currently, right now, we have two going on right now. We have Russia and Ukraine. Russia attacking Ukraine since February of last year and so on, that you know. Now, of course, in the past 1 week, a mass terrorist group attacking Israel, brought to a full war, that hear of wars and rumors of wars. See that ye be not terrified or troubled, for all these things must come to pass. What I'm saying, when you see this thing, telling you that we are at the end of the age, the thing the Lord already foretold, it's a reminder to us that the coming of the Lord draw nigh, because the thing is asking, what shall be the sign of thy coming? So I'm telling you that when you see these things, to tell you that the coming of the Lord draws nigh, not just by the word of man, the very signs the Lord gave. Now, so in Luke 21 verse 11, the Lord said this, and great earthquakes shall be in diverse places. Now, as we see the same thing today, in this 1 month alone, talking about earthquakes, right? We see strong earthquake rocks parts of Western Afghanistan. And 2 times in that week, it was struck by great earthquake in Afghanistan. 2 of them. On September 8th, a devastating magnitude 6.8 earthquake hit Morocco. So, just the Lord said in diverse places, just in within 2 weeks, can you imagine that? And then they say events will be like a flood at the end of time. They will come together. We are seeing wars right now. We are seeing both of them happening at the same time. We are seeing two wars going on. We are seeing 2 earthquakes at the same time. Earthquake in diverse places. Daniel, it said the flood of events is to wake us up, God's children, you know, that the coming of the Lord dread nigh. Now, in Luke 21:25, and there shall be signs in the sun, and in the moon, and in the stars, and upon the earth, distress of nations with perplexity, the sea and the waves roaring. Just only yesterday, I know everybody must have heard it. A solar eclipse crossed 8 of the U.S. states from Oregon across northeast Arizona down to Texas. So they call it the ring of fire. So you have a solar eclipse where the moon comes between the sun and the earth, cast a shadow upon it. And because of his position, it doesn't totally cover the sun. So you have part of the light of the sun still like a ring. They call it a ring of fire. So we see, you know, the people of Navajo, now, when the eclipse occurred, you know what they do? They fasted yesterday, they will close all their shops. In their tradition, they think it's the end of a thing and the beginning of something else. You see? Yeah, you see, I remember what they do. I think they were fasting, they fast when they see an eclipse. And then, so, but they misunderstand the real meaning that we have to, the Lord says, is the sign of the coming of the Lord, sign in the sun. We talk about the great and terrible day of the Lord, the last time, 1 Samuel, about 3 or 4 Sundays ago, you know. And look at what is happening right now, you know. After the tribulation of those days, the Bible says in Matthew 24, the sun shall be darkened, and the moon and so on, after the great tribulation and so on. Sign in the sun and the moon. Unmistakable sign that the coming of the Lord is near, you know. So that is what is happening right now. So, this is yesterday, October, 14 and so on. You can see the ring of fire, war is going on and so on, as you know. Come April 8th next year, a total lunar eclipse will take place, you know. Come April next year. What other signs does the church need to waken up that the coming of the Lord is near? Now, so don't forget, the time will come also, you know, and so on, you know, the tribulation and so on. Storm is coming, great storm is coming, it's time to run to Jesus, amen? Praise the Lord. Heavenly Father, we thank you this morning in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Took a little bit more time here. So we thank you for the time we are living in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. The Bible says, until the time of the Gentile be fulfilled. Instead of the study that of the Gentile. Until the time of the Gentile be fulfilled. Our time is, we are in transition time. God will go to the Jews and all of these things to help us to be ready as you command us to be ready, Lord. In the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. It be at the time that we think not. But if we prepare ourselves every day, Lord, then we will not be taken by surprise. We look for the Lord every day. That way we will not miss you. So we thank you for the time you have spent here this morning. As we go this morning, Father, Lord, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, we thank you for your promise that you are with us always, even to the end of the age. We are living in perilous time indeed, but you promise us the angel of the Lord encamp around it and fear the Lord. So Lord, we thank you. The Bible says, when you hear of all these things, you're not terrified. These things must need to be, then the end shall come. So we trust in your protection, divine protection, as the age closes, Lord. Father, I pray for every prayer request that may be in our heart this morning, every need that we have, Lord, oh God, that we meet the needs of your people, meet our needs as our promise of Lord. Our God will supply all our needs according to the riches in glory by Christ Jesus. Above all things, Lord, let us not do like the Jews, not to miss the hour of our visitation, the coming of the Lord. They are example to us. We thank you for blessing us, Lord, in your word. As we go, let us meditate upon these things, Lord, oh God, how the Bible has forecasted all these things ahead of time. And we are the one living at the time of the coming of the Lord. Receive all the glory, Father. In Jesus' name, Father, we thank you. Praise the Lord Jesus.
Amen.
Oh, praise God.
Amen.